What is the source of true happiness? Men throughout the ages have wandered in the fields of despair and the valleys of transgression all their lives in seeking true happiness. And yet come the end of their lives, even in the midst of all of the iniquity in which they had lived, never find it. And the source of true happiness is still a question that evades just about everybody today. And we have people still wandering in the midst of a darkened world of sin, seeking that true happiness, and yet never finding it. And so would it not be helpful if there was one who had gone before us, who had tried and tested and proven or disproven methods of seeking happiness, and went ahead and had to endure all the heartache and all the sorrow and all the despair for us, where he would just tell us what the source was without us having to go through everything that he went through? It would be very helpful. And it has been, because that's exactly what the book of Ecclesiastes is all about. In Ecclesiastes 1, the first three verses, Solomon, who is the writer, tells us the purpose of his writing. He says there, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor, which he taketh under the sun? Now you are familiar with Solomon, the man, the one who was blessed above so many others in the Old Testament, the one who was so very wealthy, the one who had so many different women involved in his life, the one who was blessed with such great wisdom by God. This is the man whom we refer when thinking about the author of this book. And in some of the instances in his life, it's difficult to associate Solomon with wisdom, because he did not always use it, sadly, though he had it. And yet in the book of Ecclesiastes, we find him in an ongoing process, continuing from the book of Proverbs, in revealing divine wisdom for the benefit of mankind. You remember from our study of Proverbs last week how that Solomon provided for us a great number of moral bits of knowledge that are that is to benefit man in his attempt to serve God. Well, in the book of Ecclesiastes, he continues with the idea of divine wisdom, but now in the process of seeking true happiness. And you remember Solomon, in the many escapades of his life, was seeking happiness. You remember, for example, how he, when he became king, began to try to build up a mighty kingdom. And unlike the two kings previous to him, Saul and David, who focused their efforts outside of the kingdom to expand the kingdom, Solomon isolated his attempts at happiness in building a kingdom to the inside. And he invested in a great number of building projects and a host of other things that he tried to involve himself in to try to make him happy. And, of course, they were to no avail. You think about Solomon in his personal life, that which we said we're probably familiar with Solomon, and the many wives in which he was involved with, the many concubines that he had, probably looking into them as a source of happiness. And yet, Solomon couldn't find it there. And you think about the various religious directions in which his life went, thinking he could find happiness by broadening his horizons. And yet he could not find happiness there. And so in the end, what is it, Solomon, that makes you happy? Well, that's what he goes about to prove. He goes about to, as a scientist, hypothesize. He gathers information, says, well, maybe this is what's going to make me happy. He tests it, just like a scientist. And then he draws a conclusion based upon all the information he has gathered and the experiences that he has had, and tells us what that conclusion is. And what we're going to find at the end of Ecclesiastes as his studied and proven result as to where true happiness is found. But as we go through Ecclesiastes tonight, let's look at the five particular areas in which Solomon sought wisdom or sought happiness, and see if and when he truly did find that. First of all, Solomon asked the question, is happiness found in being wise? Well, his hypothesis is in Ecclesiastes 1:13. He says there, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. All right, Solomon, in the process of seeking happiness, he says that I sought after all the wisdom I could find. And wisdom is something that most people believe is going to make them happy. And people will go on long searches for information and long travels for knowledge, thinking that if I know enough, then that's going to make me happy in life. Well, Solomon, did it work? Your hypothesis was happiness is found in wisdom. What's your conclusion? Verses 17 and 18. He says, and I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Solomon, you sought happiness and wisdom. Did you find it? He says, I didn't find it. Rather than seeking happiness and joy in wisdom, I found sorrow. And it was all but vexation of spirit. And so, first method, tried but not proven, wisdom fails in the pursuit of that joy. Number two, Solomon asked the question, is happiness found in being wealthy? And you remember that back in 1 Kings when Solomon showed such great devotion unto God, having gone and sacrificed on 1,000 altars unto the Lord. And the Lord was very pleased with Solomon. And he came to Solomon and he said, Solomon, what would it be that would give you joy? Well, in other words, what do you want? Ask me of whatever you will and I'll give it to you. And Solomon could have sought great riches. Solomon could have sought great deal of authority. Solomon could have sought vengeance over his enemies. But what was it Solomon asked for? He asked for wisdom and understanding to be a righteous king in judging his people. And so God, in being pleased with his decision, granted him that wisdom, and likewise granted him the things that he did not ask for. He granted him with riches. He granted him with power and prestige. He granted him with vengeance over his enemies. And so Solomon knew a thing or two about being wealthy. He had a lot of money. And so his question then is, can I find happiness in being wealthy? Ecclesiastes 2, 1 through 3, I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this is also vanity. I said of a laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. Well, he had given up on wisdom, and he says, go to now, I will seek out happiness and wealth. And even more so than wisdom today, people believe true happiness is found in how much I can have. How much money can I make? How much can I have given to me? And the more than I can have, then the happier I'm going to be. But when they have all the money that they can do whatever they want to with, and they have everything that they can get with the money, are they still happy? Or have they found joy? Have they found happiness? Most of the time, those are the most miserable people that you ever meet in your life. Because they thought they could have everything they wanted in wealth, and yet all they found was emptiness. And Solomon says that is exactly what he found. Ecclesiastes 2, 18 through 23, his conclusion. Yea, I hated all my labor, which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom, and in knowledge, and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity, and a great evil. For what hath man of all his labor, and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. All right, I sought it in wisdom, couldn't find it. I sought it in wealth. His conclusion was, I worked all my life, worked like a dog, got as much as I could, and when I died, it was all gone. I left it to somebody who was to come after me. And I didn't know if who I left it to was wise or foolish. And so his conclusion in finding happiness and wealth was it's vanity. It's not worth it. And so two methods, two questions, both being answered. Can he find it in wisdom? No. And can he find it in wealth? Absolutely not. Well, then he moves on to his third area in which he thinks he might find happiness. And he asks the question, is happiness found in being well known? Well, again, just like the other two, this is an area in which people believe happiness is going to be found. If I have prestige, if I'm popular, if I have power and authority, then surely I'll have all the joy that I can ever desire. If only people would do anything to please me, then I would find true happiness. Well, Solomon says, I sought happiness in being well-known, friend, and let me tell you what I found. His hypothesis, Ecclesiastes 3, 9 through 15. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. Solomon, does it do any good in looking toward the future and seeking prestige? He says, no. It was a waste of time. It was all vanity and vexation of spirit. In the long run, it didn't give me any pleasure to be well known. It didn't give me any pleasure to have all the authority and all of the power that I had. He said in the long run, it really wasn't even worth it. And so Solomon, was happiness found in being well known? Well, in the same way it wasn't found in being wise or wealthy, it wasn't in this area either. And so another method tried, and yet another one disproven to the contrary. Number four, Solomon, where did you find or seek happiness? Well, he asked the question, is happiness found in being wantless? In other words, is happiness found in having everything that you ever wanted? In having every desire fulfilled? In having every pleasure given to you? Is that where you found happiness? Well, as king, Solomon had that at his feet. He had the ability to get anything he wanted. He had the money to do anything he wanted. He had the power to have anybody he wanted. And so, Solomon, you tried that method. Did you find it there? He asked the question. Ecclesiastes 6, 1 and 2. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. He says, I've seen it, and I have felt it myself, of a man who could be given anything that he could ever want. And yet he could not actually taste of the joy of it. Why? Because joy is not found there. In the same way, it's not found in being wealthy. It's not found in being materialistic and having everything that could ever be wanted. It's simply not found in possessions. And so Solomon clears up yet another area in which most people are confused. Is this where I can find true happiness? Solomon answers the question. Chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. He says there, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This is also vanity. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Solomon was happiness found in mirth or possessions or in having all that you could desire. He said it was better to have a good name than to desire even precious ointment. And so area number four, Solomon, proven or disproven? Solomon says it's not worth it. Well, Solomon, you didn't find joy in wisdom. You didn't find it in wealth. You didn't find it in being well known, and you didn't find it in being wantless. Did you ever find joy? Or are you leading us on a hunt of an invisible animal that's never there? Solomon says, I found joy. But it wasn't in any of these areas previously mentioned, but I found it. He said, let me tell you where I found it. Happiness is found in being worthy, in providing devotion unto the Most High God, and finding self-worth in God. That's where happiness was found. That's where joy was found. He said, I wasted my whole life, for the most part, in seeking after all of these worldly ambitions and all these carnal pleasures. And what's his advice? Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Sometimes that's a statement that we say or we read and don't really think about the background of the statement. This is coming from a man who forgot his Creator in the days of his youth. This is a man who sought joy in every area of life he could think of and never found it. And now as an old man, he reflects back on his life wasted, and says, if I could give you one piece of advice that would save you from even a tenth of the heartache I have suffered, let me tell you what it is. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You can hear the anguish in Solomon's statement. Don't make the same foolish mistake I made. Don't go after seeking the carnal lust that I went after. If you want to find true joy and happiness, find joy in God. That's where it's found, and that's the only place it's ever going to be. In Ecclesiastes 9, verses 1 through 6, he says, "For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth, as he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all, yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished, neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun." Solomon, did you find joy in life? He says, joy is only found in life if joy is going to be found in death. That's the only comfort that can come about in life, is that if I can have joy in death. Many people would find that to be contradictory. If I have joy in death, then I must have had a wasted life. But to one who makes such a statement is one who does not consider and understand the vast eternity that awaits us. Joy in death will be based upon joy in life. And Solomon says, that's where I found it. At the end of the book, we find perhaps one of the most known and quoted statements in all the Bible. And it's Solomon's studied, experienced, and mature conclusion to a life that was filled with test, result, and many times heartache. Solomon, you sought it in wisdom and you didn't find it. You sought it in wealth and you didn't find it. You sought it in prestige and you didn't find it. And you sought it in material treasures and you didn't find it. Where did you find it? How is it that you can have joy at the end of your life? He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Everything I've talked about in this book, everything that sums up life, this is the conclusion. This is it. This is all that matters. Fear God and keep His commands. And this is the whole of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. In the end, Solomon, what's all that matters? Your devotion and worth to God. And friend, if you have not cared for it throughout life, then there shall be no joy in death. Those are the words from a man who lived a long and in his eyes a wasted life, because at the end he finally realized what he had missed all those years. It's sad often that we as young people never really listen to those who have gone before us to tell us of their experiences and their methods and their heartaches and their mistakes. And try as you may, and we thank you for it even though we don't listen to you sometimes. Try as you may, you do your best to warn us, but often to no avail. You know how Solomon felt. Solomon wasted his whole life only to realize at the end what it was all about. And his plea to us is, don't waste your life the same way I wasted mine. And if only one person would listen to him, all the suffering he endured in life would be vindicated in that one righteous soul. He says, here are my mistakes. Don't make them as I did. Let me tell you now, while you're young, what I didn't learn until I was almost dead. Fear God, keep the commands of God. That is your entire being. And so there it is. What's the source of true happiness? Fearing and obeying God. And if we can find our joy in life through God, it's at that point that we shall find our joy in death. Why was it that Paul was able to say near the end of his life, I fought a good fight. I finished my course and I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at his appearing, and not unto me only, but unto all those who love his appearing. How could he have that joy near death? He feared God and he kept the commands of God. He learned earlier in life what Solomon didn't learn till later. And through that he found what everybody who has ever lived looked for. True happiness. And so this evening, if you are without happiness, true happiness, the happiness that shall last in eternity, then God still has a promise for you, if only you would accept it. He has a promise that assures true and eternal joy. And that is that if you would obey Him and reap the benefits of His sacrifice, then we shall forever be in His presence. Come tonight. Having heard and studied the Word, do you believe it? That Christ is the Son of the living God? Are you willing to turn from a past lifestyle of sin unto a righteous lifestyle in the fold of God? Will you confess your faith before us? And based on that confession, be baptized in water in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for the remission of your sins. Putting on Christ, being added into the church and having your sins washed away, if so, come and reap the blessings of God. If you're among us tonight and you are a child of God who's turned back into a lifestyle of sin, come back. You still have time and it's not too late. Find the joy that you've lost. Repent of your sins. Confess your sins before us as publicly as they are known. And pray to God for forgiveness. And His promise unto you is that He will cleanse you and forgive you, giving you full and eternal redemption. If you are seeking the happiness that is found only in God, why not come and find it tonight? Because it is there and waiting for you. Do it now. If you're subject, as together we stand and sing.